Hey everyone, and welcome to News of the Money World. My name is Darcy Ungaro, and the other guy here is Rupert Carlion. And today we have lots to cover. We're going to be talking about central banks, unemployment, what's happening in the Middle East, and what does that have to do with inflation? Maybe talk about the Bitcoin halving and talk about the markets giving up on the Goldilocks scenarios. So there's a ton to go through, Rupert. We'll start with maybe central banks around the world changing the way they need to communicate. You sent through a really cool article around this one, which highlights the.
It was a great article. And the truth is that over the last 12 months, we've kind of been taking central banks as gospel at what they say. On one hand, they're saying we've got to cut rates. They're saying inflation is high. We've got to keep going hard on rates. In December, we saw Jerome Powell with his very, very quick piece around actually, no, we're done on rate hikes. We can see us cutting rates in the first half of next year. We're now in a world where we're like, actually, you know what? Inflation is higher than we thought. Interest rates are not going to come so quickly. And it's been very, very difficult for market participants and everyone else because the central banks have been talking pretty definitively, to be honest. And I think there's this strong conversation, which is around, you know what? Why don't they give us a range of scenarios and a range of outcomes? So similar to how we all operate when we do our own internal forecasts or when we do things, we go, we think this might happen. If that happens, then this happens. If this happens, then this happens. If this happens, then this happens. And then you attribute probabilities based on that. And so here, I think it's become really interesting because one of the things we have seen over the last 12, 18 months is that, or probably actually the last 4 years, actually, kind of being really honest, all economist forecasts have been completely wrong. Yet the Reserve Bank continues and the central banks continue to tell us things based on this news, based on their forecasts. And so is it time for them to go, look, if inflation does this, we kind of think we might do this. If growth does this, we think we might do this. And almost give us a range of outcomes with a range of possibilities. And to be fair, this is not just the Fed. I think New Zealand, we've got a really strong case for this right now. Personally, where I sit on the New Zealand side is we do have very high inflation, and particularly inflation at the domestic level is much higher than it needs to be. But we've also got an economy which is in crisis point. And so at the moment, the Reserve Bank sitting there going, cool, interest rates are going to stay high until the end of 2020, early 2020. The market's sitting there saying, hold on a sec, but we've got an economy that's cratering. Yeah, it feels as though we need a richer conversation to understand the parameters and where it might go versus the black and white of where we are today.
I understand. But it's kind of like the problem is on both sides, though, isn't it? It's partly on the side of market participants who are trying to understand what the next move of the Fed, for example, or the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, for example, would be. And we kind of take as gospel what they're saying without actually understanding the rich context around it. And it kind of goes back to what we were saying either last week or the week before, where we probably idolize much more these central bankers than what we did in the past. And therefore, it's kind of both are kind of guilty, I guess, of misinterpreting what's being said, or on the other side, saying things that are too absolute. And it's not like there's an attempt to purposefully deceive, but that's kind of what's happening. And just the fact that there's delays with data that comes out and there's reporting on such a narrow aspect of it during these volatile times, it's expected that we're going to have these issues around communication, right?
Yeah. And I also think pretty strongly at the moment, the markets interpret what the markets want to interpret. And we've seen that very loud and clear in the last 18 months, where market expectations of when interest rates are going to be cut have always been so far ahead of where the Federal Reserve, where the central bank, where others are. And so, yeah, but we're in a pretty ugly world, right? Where the central bank has to say things and they have to say things and the market hears what the market wants to hear. So yeah, 100% agree. The communication needs to improve on both sides. But I think I really like the idea that Ben Bernanke is kind of talking about, which is let's start talking about scenarios. Let's talk about a range of outcomes rather than assuming we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, because then it's actually valuable and it can help educate people as to where we're at in the world. And so on the topic just though of delays with data coming through, so the last quarter that we have data for with respect to the unemployment rate in New Zealand shows that the rate of unemployment now according to last quarter, is up just a little bit higher. We have an increase in job applications. We seem to have wage growth slowing. Job ads are down 27% year on year with one particular platform here in New Zealand. So we have something that's happening in real time, which appears to be a shift from not only is there less recruitment going on, but now there are jobs starting to be cut. You can see that real time. I can see that with people calling me talking about that. And so I know that that's actually happening live way more than what we had seen previously. So what do you think's going on with unemployment data in New Zealand in real time right now?
Yeah, look, I think the unemployment data it's definitely lag data. We know that. Some of the stuff that we are starting to see, I think it's a lot worse out there than people think it is. We've talked in the past about how the Reserve Bank has said they want to see unemployment up at 4.5%. That actually means, what's that? That's another 300 jobs that need to go before we get to that. That's happening faster rather than later. And so what we're hearing anecdotally is, so that the SEEK data I found really interesting, plus some of the stuff that we're seeing anecdotally, right? We're a small business, we're currently recruiting for roles, and we have people coming entry-level roles for people that have got quite a lot of experience and taking big pay cuts because they've been laid off from their previous jobs and they just cannot find work right now. I know other businesses where they've managed to get through with a 0% pay rise across the board. All of this stuff is happening because then the unions have accepted that, because the unions have simply said, well, look, we'd rather have no pay rises and no people made redundant than what everyone else is doing, which is very limited pay rise and a whole lot of people being made redundant. So I think we are starting to see this kind of the transition and the cratering of the economy that we've kind of all been predicting for a little bit of time. And we are really starting to get there in New Zealand. Bad, terrible, horrible news for the people that are impacted by this. And unfortunately, there will be a lot of people impacted by this. But unfortunately, this is the cycle that we need to happen. And I guess I'm very, very curious. This is why my personal view is interest rates start to come down in a meaningful way in Q3, potentially Q4 this year, because I do think everything that we are seeing, the economy is in a pretty dire state. And these unemployment data is the kind of a little bit of the canary of that too.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think the key word to underline there is a meaningful decrease to interest rates, because we've gone from a shift of lower and sooner to now clearly higher and longer with respect to interest rates. And a lot of people, when they're fixing their mortgages, they're in real precarious positions already, probably speculating on a meaningful decrease themselves. And that hasn't necessarily been true. But I think if we do see unemployment spike up around 4%, or even overshoot, which certainly seems possible at this stage, then yeah, we might see a meaningful meaningful decrease to the official cash rate, maybe a bit sooner. So I guess the worse it gets, the better it gets, right?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing, and we've talked about this before, but the one thing is that the current government might be ruining the day they moved the central bank to a single mandate to focus solely on inflation, because I do think there is going to be a challenge and there will be a required trade-off at some point in the next 2 or 3 months, where a pretty dire economy with pretty strong negative growth, high unemployment, we've still got inflation. And yeah, so it is going to be a really interesting time, but you have to believe sanity and kind of humanity will prevail, which means interest rates have to come down. We need the kickstart to restart our economy at some point.
Yeah, let's hope for that. Okay, let's talk about some of the other drivers of inflation, maybe, I guess. If we zoom out of New Zealand and rotate the globe a bit here, let's have a look at what's happening in the, I think it's the Bar el Mandeb Strait or the Red Sea area, where we have the Yemenis, Houthi people firing stuff off at ships, obviously making it dangerous to pass through there. That's increasing the traffic everywhere else, which obviously means we're going from an efficient path to a less efficient path in terms of transportation of oil and goods, which unfortunately pushes up the cost and delays the speed at which raw materials reach where they need to be. So that happening in a global state means that we're going to have more pressure on the oil price. And why that's relevant is that even just like a $10 per barrel increase in the oil price can lead to a 0.2% increase in the rate of inflation. This is approximately true, and this is from a Bloomberg article. And so when we hear the news about Israel attacking Iran, Iran attacking Israel, what's happening in the Gaza Strip, all that sort of stuff, we look at it through several lenses, like humanitarian, the justice of it all, or the injustice of it all. And then we have to look at the economic implication, because that's when that creates a risk for us here in New Zealand when we're looking at our mortgage rates. Funnily enough, oil is connected to our mortgage rates. Why, or let me phrase it this way, do you think we are almost too ignorant of what's happening in the Middle East here in New Zealand just because it's so far away? Or do you think we're mindful enough here in New Zealand as everyday consumers of what's happening overseas?
So I think personally, New Zealand, we are far too ignorant. and of what is happening overseas. I mean, you outlined pretty clearly the direct impact that oil has on both growth and inflation. Something like 10% of all input costs of what we consume is related to oil. And so it is a huge driver of inflation on the way through. And we have to kind of go, look, actually, Iran, Israel, if that does blow up, it's pretty scary, right? Iran controls 10% of the kind of world's oil production and oil reserves. The Strait of Hormuz, which kind of goes very skinny part in the Red Sea, right next to Iran, that 40% of global oil exports go through that little piece there, right? And so it is actually quite scary what could happen if we end up in full-blown conflict in the Middle East and what that does. And so the problem we have in New Zealand, and this is where it's kind of, I think, quite interesting, we are more impacted than most by this because we are manufacturing almost nothing here in New Zealand. We are highly dependent on imports. Anything that comes at us from Europe, our oil, all of that kind of stuff is coming through the Red Sea. And so from our perspective, it is actually, it's going to be really, really challenging if there are kind of, it does get escalate and does get worse. And I mean, one of the things we spend a lot of time talking about is our dependency on China. And if anything, unfortunately, unrest and unsettlement in the Middle East is actually going to push us closer to China because we're not going to be able to get our goods through the Red Sea. Shipping is going to get much more expensive and those China shipping lanes are going to come a whole lot more attractive for us. So it is quite interesting. And unfortunately, I do believe New Zealanders, is because of the structure of our economy and where we are located, is worse off than a whole lot of other countries as well for this.
Interesting. Yeah. Because the other aspect that's going on, when there's a problem over here, you get solutions over here. And the other thing that's going on is that the demand for US and West African crude is increasing. And remember, the US is now a net exporter of oil. And so if the US starts supplying, say, Europe, for example, more of their energy requirements, then if you can just imagine a chessboard where, say, Russia, China, Iran are on one side, 3D chess being played right now as it relates to the US dollar and the price of oil and what's happening in the Middle East. So it is a very, very fascinating time to kind of be an investor and just to be a citizen watching what's going on in the world, because we're going through a tremendous amount of transition, right?
Oh, and I think we are very, very sheltered from all this here in New Zealand. There's a great article, I can't remember where, but I was reading it a couple of days ago, just talking about the analogies between the Cold War, post-World War II Cold War, and where we are today. And they're saying basically the first 15 years of the Cold War have played out in the last 3 years. And so potentially moving a lot quicker than it did back in the 1950s, 1960s.
Okay, well, moving on then, there's been a significant event over the weekend with the...
Yep. Yeah, look, it's a really interesting one, right? So we've been doing a bit of research on our side on actually the impact of the price movements on Bitcoin halving. And so historically, because there's less new coins available, that means that the supply has dried up. Demand continues to grow for this product, and that's what's caused the spike in prices over the medium term. Will this be the same? Look, I hope so. Do we know so? No, of course we don't. But it is really interesting, right? What I haven't quite got my head on, I don't know if you've managed to find the stat, is of the Bitcoin traded, how much is new Bitcoin versus how much is existing? And so I think as we see the limits on supply and as we see that, yeah, it has to be a good news story. It's just a matter of when and how, right? Historically, we have seen quite big price dips around the time of the halving. That hasn't really happened this time. We saw some dips over the last couple of weeks, but to be fair, that's more related to the risk-off sentiment we've seen in the broader markets. So yeah, it is going to be really, really interesting to see. I personally think at the moment, the halving is the second story in terms of price movements. It's more around what's happening on interest rates, what's happening on markets, and where does risk sentiment go. So thanks, Darcy. Great conversation as per always. It's an amazing time at the moment with so much happening. We've got the geopolitics that are there. We've got economists, which have got no idea which goes going on, which means that we are ping-ponging around on interest rates, ping-ponging around on markets. It's basically one of both the most interesting, most toughest times to be an investor at the moment, in my view at least. But fundamentally, it all comes back to the same thing. A great strategy. Short-term, just don't make decisions impacting your long-term based on short-term data. The one thing we've learned over the last 3 years is that what we expect to happen won't necessarily happen. And so therefore, at the moment, patience is there. So look, a shortened school holidays version of the podcast today, but hopefully a little bit of interesting stuff for everyone to hear. Thank you all, and we'll speak to you next week.